morning is some thoughts that I had from the past number of weeks. Tarn was sitting at our table a couple weeks back. Sorry, Tarn, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about you this morning a little bit. But he asked me a question in the course of conversation. He asked me to give him a definition of wisdom. And before I could formulate an answer, he quickly told me not to give him the pat answer of what wisdom is. And I said, well, I need to know what that is so I don't give you the pat answer. And he said, well, everybody tells him the same thing. Wisdom is applied knowledge. I'm not even sure what I told you after that. Maybe avoided that question, I'm not sure. But I was thinking about that. That definition of wisdom, is that a good definition for godly wisdom? Applied knowledge, is that a good definition? Is it halfway right? Is it mostly wrong? Should we add to it? Well, the dictionary.com definition says this. It says, in defining wisdom, it says the quality or state of being wise. And I thought, well, what a terrible definition that is. Like, isn't one of the rules for defining words is you don't use the same word or form of the word in the definition? Like, that's just bad. Well, down a little bit farther, it did say some more. It says this. It says, the knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. So wisdom has to do with knowledge, what you know, what I know. It has to do with what I know. But it goes above that. It goes beyond that yet. Because as we know, I can have a lot of knowledge, but I can be very unwise with the knowledge that I have because I'm not using it, I'm not living it, I'm not applying it to my everyday life. So where would you turn in your Bibles if you were to look for a definition for some help in defining wisdom? Where would you turn in your Bibles to bring some clarity to that? Proverbs. Absolutely. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. It's known as the wisdom literature in our Bibles. And it speaks a lot about wisdom. And we don't have a lot of time here this morning, but we're going to just scratch the surface in this effort to define wisdom. The title for the message this morning is Get Wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And we're going to stop there. And our focus this morning will be on verses 2 and 3. I would like to define these words in these verses that we so easily just read over. And we're not exactly sure. Well, maybe they all mean the same thing. Wisdom and instruction, words of understanding, the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. And we sort of just like, whew, read over that and we miss what it may be saying to us. So the reason the book of Proverbs was written is to know wisdom. And so on. And so wisdom this morning is taking what I know and somehow it's interweaving it into my daily life, into my actions. I'm still thinking about that definition of applied knowledge. I don't know if you ever read through the book of Proverbs in one sitting. Probably you haven't. Maybe you have. But If you read just number of chapters at a time, something really stands out to you. And it's because some words are written over and over again in these chapters. And I'd like for us to think about that. A book that is written to know wisdom, it talks in every chapter, it talks about a path or a way or walking or running. And so a book of wisdom has to do with the way we walk and with the path that we take. It's everywhere in this book, this thought of ways and paths. Listen to these verses in chapter 1 and verse 15. I'd just like to highlight a couple of them to you. It says, "My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain." Verse 31, "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their way and be filled with their devices." Chapter 2 and verse 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Verse 13, "Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." Verse 15, "Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." Verse 18, "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead." 19, "None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous." Do you see? It's just like it's all over the place. It's just there. You should underline it, highlight it. It's in this book. And it just sort of stood out to me rather starkly that it's over and over again this thought of paths and ways. And when you're walking, when you're running, it's always down a path. It's always through a way. Wisdom has to do with the path that I take in life. Now, clearly, the idea and the definition of wisdom, it is not just having knowledge and applying it to my actions. That is not a completely accurate definition of wisdom. Because my ungodly friends do that too. They apply their knowledge to their action. They know that partying is fun. So with that knowledge, they apply it to their action and they go party. I may be looking for pleasure. I have knowledge that I want pleasure, and we know that there's pleasure in sin, so I may apply that to my action and go find pleasure, go sin. And so it's not just applying knowledge to your action, because the fools do that too. Wisdom instead, it has to do with rather the ability to see to the end of the path, to the end of the way. Like, where will this lead me? Where will this take me? Where will this bring me to my destination? Is this where I want to end up? Wisdom, godly wisdom, has the capability of seeing the path that I'm on and being able to see all the way to the end of that path. And is it where I want to go? Is this where I want to be? Is this where I want to end? Is this path what lead me to my greatest good for the greatest amount of time? Where will this path bring me? Because I believe all of us today are looking for the greatest joy and the greatest happiness and the greatest pleasure, and we want it forever, right? So that is a way to define godly wisdom. It is not just applying knowledge to your actions, but it's able to see the knowledge that's applied to your action, where will this lead you to? Where will it bring you to? What will be the result of walking that path? There is a song that is sung. It's a rock song. It's very rebellious and defiant, but the singer says this. He says, I want it all, and I want it now. Now, the problem with that is that people that basically live in this world with that mindset, they are not looking all the way to the end of a path of living like that. Where that path is going to take them, where that path is going to lead them, they are not willing to look to the end of that path and to see, is this where I want to end up? Wisdom tells us, godly wisdom tells us that if we're to travel that way, walk that path of wanting it, I want it now, and I want it all, and I want it now. If we travel that path, wisdom tells us that that path is going to end in what? Emptiness, heartache, and grief, and extreme ruin and loss. Do I have wisdom today? Do you have wisdom today to see right now the path that you're on, where it's going to take you? Like, where will that path lead you? Where is the destination of this path? Where will it bring me? What will be the results, the fruit of walking this path? Verse 17 of chapter 1 tells us, he says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you spread a net in the sight of a bird, what will it not do? It won't fly into the net because it sees it. But am I as smart as a bird? Like, can I be as wise as a bird to see the net at the end of the path? Can I see that far, or am I too short-sighted to see that? Can I see accurately the path that I'm taking? And so wisdom, godly wisdom, is all about doing that which is going to be for my greatest good, for your greatest good. Chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. We don't want to walk through life. You and I don't want to walk through life right now today. We don't want to walk like this, disregarding where the path is going to take me that I'm on. We don't want to disregard that. I need to be thinking about the path I'm on. You need to be thinking about the path that you're on. And Solomon tells his son, he says, look to where this path will take you. Where will it lead you? What is the end of this path? In chapter 2 and verse 16, he says this, he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Do you have the wisdom to see the end of that path? Do you see where that path will take you? Can you see that far? He says you're not going to come back again. None will go unto her, and they won't return. The other thing that comes to us often in this book of wisdom, it's seeing to the end of the path, but often at the book it has the idea of life or death. Where will your path end? Where will it take you? Will it take you to eternal life with God or to eternal separation from God? Will this path take you to misery, or will it take you to fulfillment? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's really easy to think that the path that I'm on right now, it's a good path, and it's going to end okay for me. It seems right to me now. but do I have the wisdom to see to the end of the path accurately? As God sees it, can I see it the way God sees it? Will I get to the end of my path at a destination that I don't want? The results that I don't want in my life and in my family's life. My son, get wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. How do I seek for wisdom? How do you seek for wisdom? How do we accomplish this? How do we practically live this out, seeking for wisdom as for gold or some high-value treasure? We'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 24. In verse 30, the wise man said that he went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Solomon tells us, he's walking down this path, he's walking in life, and as he's walking in life, he looks over and he observes this house. The walls are broken down, it's covered up in thorns and in nettles, and it's just a picture of ruin and disarray and disorder and dysfunction. It's no longer being useful and profitable. And he looks over at that, and as he's journeying, he looks and he considered it well. He saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. And as he considered that, he said, you know what? If I stay in bed till 12 o'clock noon every day, if I don't come out of my house till lunchtime every day, that's not good, because you can see the end results of that. That is the end of the path of a lazy person. Things grow up and break down. And we see the results of that, and we say, well, I don't want my end to be like that. We consider that. And we turn away from the path of the sluggard and the slothful and the lazy man, because we consider the end of that path, where it leads to, where it takes us. This is the result of that kind of life, of living that kind of way. Chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom is to be found all around us today, if we were to just but open our eyes and to see it. It's crying to you and to me right now today. We need to open our eyes and observe it. We need to be like the wise men as we journey and we look and we can carefully consider and we receive instruction as we consider the paths that people are taking and the end results of those paths. This morning, we're all on a path. We're all walking this walk this morning. You can't get around that. You can't get away from that. You are on a path. You can't just be like, I'm out of here. I'm going to avoid this. No, we're all on a path. And the beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom, to seek it, look for it, watch. You see people walking a certain way in life. See where it leads them. See where it takes them. If you observe good things coming out of their life, things that you want for your life and for your family and for your church, will inquire, what are they doing to have these results? And live that way. Practice that. If you see bad results coming out of situations and a different paths of people taking different journeys and different ideas, and you observe their courses and you see bad things happening, well, consider that as well and receive instruction for yourself. Because that's not where you want to be. That's not where you want to end up. Be awake, be alert, look, watch, observe, and receive instruction. That takes us back to verse 2 of chapter 1. To know wisdom and instruction. What does it mean? Instruction, what does that mean? And it has the idea of discipline, of chastening, and of correction. Correction is to make right. And this morning, there is really huge wisdom in being able to be corrected. Like, I often despise that. But that's a sign of a foolish man. Correction is making something right. All of us want to be right. All of us want to be on the right path. And so wise men don't despise correction. Wise men should be thankful for correction because it makes you right again. It gets you back on track again. It gets you back to where you need to be. Be like the wise man as he journeys and as he observes the paths that people are on and the end results of their path. Receive instruction for your life. Let it correct your course. Let it change your course. Let it put you on a better path, on the best path, on the right path. Be thankful for correction. Well, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Verses, the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3. Basically, the idea in those phrases means this: to be prudent, to be careful, and to be cautious. There is wisdom in being able to see to the end of your path. There is wisdom in being corrected and being put back onto the right path again. And there's also wisdom in being careful and cautious about your walk, about your ways, about how I'm living right now, today. Does that characterize my walk? Too often it probably doesn't, that I'm not cautious or careful or question my walk. But we should actually take some time to be considering our walk. As you lay in bed, ponder your day and the path you took that day and think about it carefully and cautiously. We can read stories. There's a lot of history that has been lived before us, men like you and me who have walked on paths, and we can read them and we can observe the end of their past. Some of them have been very, very good with much life and good that has been passed on, as Ted was talking, to generation to generations. There also has been much stories of much loss and ruin. And somehow in my mind, I think I can get on a path that somebody before me has taken somewhat of a similar path, but I think in my mind, well, I'm not going to get to the end of the path like they did. I'm going to be somehow able to get to a different ending, but I'm going to still walk some of that same path. That is not being cautious or careful about how I'm walking, because God is sovereign, and He has decreed that this path, all paths, will lead to a certain destination, and we're not going to be able to get away from that. And so I'm fooling myself to think that I can walk this way because I'm going to be a little bit smarter, a little bit more careful than the person before me, and it's going to work out differently in my experience. That's foolish. It won't work out like that. So there's wisdom this morning in being cautious and being careful about the path that you're on as you observe your path and those who have journeyed before you. How does your path align with those stories? Well, to receive instruction of wisdom and justice, that's the next word there in verse 3. So we endeavor to know wisdom and what it means. And justice has the idea simply of to make things right. That which is right. And we have the words judgment and equity. And these have to do with straightness, with a straight path. The path that is straight in Scripture is always a good path. The path that is crooked or bent or perverse, that is a bad path. That's a path you don't want to be on. Judgment and equity, straight, a straight path. You can see to the end of the straight path. You can see the results at the end of the straight path, and you go straight for it. Straightness. Chapter 9, verse 12, he says, "If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself." Are you wise for yourself? Am I wise for myself? Because it really is for yourself. Because when you get to the end of your path, the destination will be yours. It won't be no one else's. You can't trade destinations. You can't trade the end results of the paths that you traveled. They're your paths. It's your destinations. It's your fruit. It's the end of your life. And so if you're wise, you get wisdom for yourself. That's not selfish. That's being wise. That's a wise man. It's for you. And I really think this morning that most men think in their minds that they can travel certain paths, but when they get to the end of these paths, that they're going to somehow find good at the end of these paths. But even if the Bible will tell them over and over again that the path that they're walking, the way they're living is not going to bring them to a good end, but somehow we like to fool ourselves in thinking that it's going to be different for us. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." And we're to search for it. "Like silver, like gold, as for hid treasure." How do we do that? How am I going to be a wisdom searcher? How am I going to search for wisdom as for gold or silver or precious stones? Like, how does the world seek for these things? How does the worldly man go after these things? How does he live? What characterizes his life when it comes to money and to wealth and to riches and possessions? Like, what characterizes his life? Well, he'll get up early in the morning and he'll stay up late into the night, and he'll be very diligent. He'll scheme and he'll plan. He'll take some risks. I mean, does that characterize my search for godly wisdom? The paths that I am taking? The Lord giveth wisdom. So all of our searches for wisdom, for godly wisdom, will end at the Lord, with God, with Jesus. That's the end of wisdom. It's to know God. to see things the way God sees them. And so we go to His Word, and His Word describes the path that you and I as Christians should walk on, how we should live, how we should do with what we should do with our lives. It's a mirror. It shines on our path, and it reveals to us the imperfections, the things that we need to correct and to change and to make different. It's called the narrow way that leads to life. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, Paul tells us that God has made Christ to be our wisdom. Jesus tells us that He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way of wisdom. So all good things, all things of eternal value and benefit and blessing will come through Him. It'll come through Jesus. It'll come through following Him through His Word. And so when you open up your Bible every day to read it, it's just not just some exercise you're doing, but it's, I need wisdom. I need to know how to live today. Show me how to live today. Show me how to handle this situation, this problem, this person, this relationship. There are things that you and I will need to lose in this life in order so we can live wisely. There's a cost that comes with living wisely as God would want us to. We'll say no to those strong temptations that come to us because we're wise enough to see the end of where that's going to take us if we say yes to that temptation. And we'll say no to it. That idol that we hold up in our life, there's many things that can take our attention and our priorities and our thoughts and our affections, whatever they may be in your life. Like, be wise enough to get rid of those things. Put them into their proper places. Jesus tells us that it's better to lose things in life. It's better to lose things in life, go through life missing your arm or your eye, than to get to the end of the path and find that you lost it all. Like, it's better to lose something on this journey here so you can get to the end and not lose anything but be the winner and to be the gainer of all. There's pleasures forevermore at His right hand, Jesus tells us. And so get wisdom today. Get it for yourself. I need to be looking. I need to be watching. I need to be thinking. And we think like this. Think, whoa, if these riches of the world right now, if they're sort of like getting my attention, well then, read about Demas in your Bibles. Consider his life. What was the end of his path? Paul said that he loved, that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Consider the end of that path. Is that where you want to end up? Like Demas. It's not a path that I want to go down. Consider that young man who toys with sexual immorality. Look where it leads him. Well, we saw that in chapter 2, verse 19. It says that none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. We have young men. Sorry, I'm picking on you. But we have young men that have good paying jobs. Like, don't spend all your money for yourself. Think about the rich man that spent all his money for himself. And God told him, look, you're a fool. This night your soul's going to be required of you. It's not wise to keep everything you make for yourself. Give it away. There's wisdom in giving. Give. Give, give. It's wise to be a giver. There is wisdom to say that this applies to me right now. This story in the Bible, it applies to me. This brings correction to my life. This helps me to see things more accurately, the way God sees them. It's foolish to think that, well, this doesn't really matter. I'm exempt from this. I can get away from that. Who is the wisest person that you know? Who is the most godly person that you know? Do you know someone like that? Hopefully. But think about what characterizes their life. Do they tend to be selfish people? Or do they tend to live a life of sacrifice? Are they proud people, or they tend to be humble and submissive? Are they self-serving, or are they busy looking out for the needs of others, serving others, not hurt, nursing their own hurts and wounds? Are they haphazard in their Bible reading and in their prayer? Or is that something that they pursue faithfully and diligently every day? Like, we need to consider these things and think about them, because we tend to think that I can travel a somewhat different path and get a different result, but I still want the result of a godly, wise person. I want that result, but I tend to think I can live a slightly different way and still get the same results. That is not true. It won't work that way in your life. It won't work that way for me. Don't sit there this morning and hope that everything will work out okay for you. If I'm on a bad path and need some correction, be glad to be corrected this morning and to get on the right path. Walking on wise paths this morning, it does not happen by magic. It doesn't happen with age. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some sacrifice, some chastening, and some correction, and some work. Serious work. And it's going to change your life. You're going to make it change your life. You will choose to purposely walk a different path. Well, obviously, the end of all paths, they all take me to the end of life. They all take me to Judgment Day. They all take me to the moment that I stand before God. I don't know if you ever laid in bed and thought about that, like standing before God. I have. That was a little frightening. But don't you want to be at least able to stand before God and to have endeavored to have done your best to be wise in this life, and concerns with your life, with your path, with your habits, with your language, with everything that involves you? Like, don't you think you want to be very wise? I think I would want to be very wise. So how that affect your life here today, right now? Like, change, walk in a godly way, pursue God and His Word, be searching for wisdom. Don't be willing this morning just to stagnate and just flow through life as though the way you live has no eternal consequences, because that's not true. The way you live does have eternal consequences, and it'll affect your families too and our churches. So this morning, do I have the wisdom to see to the end of my path? Do you have wisdom to see to the end of your path? To set your eyes on the far-off skies where you see the lights of home, though the road less traveled does not have all the pleasures that befall, in my heart I know, as I onward go, it will still be worth it after all. We need to, by faith, grab a hold of the promises of God in regards to the things of this world. We need to set our eyes on things above and by faith believe that yes, what God says is true and it's right, and it will be worth it. It will be worth it to live as a wise man here. May God help me and you all to be wise this week. Let's move for prayer.